pero después los hacen pollo.
I'm gonna hit the dump, I know it in my heart. I'm gonna hit the dump, I see it in my vision.
Esto sí, te lo aseguro, que aunque tengamos que saltar un muro, vamos a bailar, danza duro, vamos a llegar, te lo juro, tenemos una meta, un sueño por cumplir, que en realidad tenemos que convertir, no importa si tenemos que resistir, porque así lo vamos a conseguir, obstáculos siempre los hay en toda misión, por eso vamos a seguir con nuestra visión, estamos escribiendo nuestra redemption song, tirando todo el love en esta versión, sé que hay cucarachas, no quiero que las pises, quiero que... Vos te bendices, esto no terminó. Ahora vienen los bises. Algunos tiran hate, nosotros quise.
I'm gonna hit the dump, I know it in my heart. I'm gonna hit the dump, I see it in my vision. Don't give up, don't give up.
We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems.
Okay, enough of that falderall. I had some problems getting the intro song up, apparently I got it fixed now. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. And I have here, as promised today, I have my guest, Sammy Perry. Hi, Sammy. How are you doing?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you. You know, even if we didn't have this official capacity of talking about the No Kings protests and Spokane Indivisible, I would have you on anyways.
I know, because it's just fun to hang out with each other.
It's a blast. And you are such an accomplished person, artist, and educator, that it would be fun to just, when all the dust settles, we'll have to have shows about that sometime.
Yeah, something that's a little bit more fun.
I think we're going to be heading that way. You know, one thing I've been doing, Sammy, at the beginning of every show is Matt has been so good to give me a list of the events through Spokane Stands Up. But I don't have one from this week, but I assume it's probably close to last week. But I'm going to say these things, and then you can tell me what I've messed up.
Okay.
All right, so Mondays are always Mikey Mondays, and they're at 3 p.m. By Wendy's on the division at that bifurcation.
Yep.
Get the ice out Wednesday, and that's 1 to 3 p.m. What?
Tuesdays now.
Oh,
back to Tuesday. We have an event every week.
Oh, golly.
Every day of the week.
I'm so glad you're here. So that's Tuesdays. Is it 1 to 3 p.m. still? on Tuesdays?
Yes.
Okay. At the corner.
No, no, I'm sorry. We messed up this whole thing.
Okay.
There is an event on Tuesdays that you failed to mention.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So let's back up. Monday, Mikey Mondays at 3. Tuesday, what's going on?
Tuesday, we have the protest team on the overpasses on the freeway.
Okay, the same.
And those are morning, and those are 7:30 to 8:30 every Tuesday morning.
Okay, so that'll be Visibility Brigade.
Nope, that's Spokane Indivisible's protest team.
Oh, so but is it doing the same kind of thing?
Exactly the same thing. Okay. And the Visibility Brigade helps the protest team put it on.
Oh, cool. All right. I mean, so
we're
many
all friends.
That's good. So that's on Tuesdays. Wednesday is Get the Ice Out Wednesday.
Yes.
Still? Okay.
Yes.
And that's 1 to 3 p.m. corner of Washington and Cataldo. That's the ICE field office. Thursday, as we were talking about, is the Visibility Brigade from 4:30 to 5:30. So on Tuesdays, it'd be in the morning. On Thursdays, it's the afternoon.
Right.
And those are at the five bridges at Sherman, Arthur, Regal, Thor, and Custer.
Right.
And you'll see them. I mean, they're probably one of the more visible things because they're on I-90, and it's great. There's the Singing Resistance, Saturday, 12 to 1 p.m., Westminster UCC. That, I don't know if that's still going on.
It is.
Okay. And then Saturday is going to be the big date, No Kings Rally, March 28th at Clark Park, 1 to 4:30 p.m. And that, of course, that's what this show is about. So you're going to find out more about that. But another thing I need to mention, too, is tomorrow, Wednesday, there is the Spokane Stands Up Town Hall meeting at 9, the bar. 9 in the bar at 232 West Sprague. And that's, of course, March 25th at 5 o'clock. So people can go to that, too.
Yeah.
So you want to get involved. You know, it's so funny because you hear people say, I don't know anything that's going on around here. And how does anybody find out? And which reminds me, I had a friend who was asking me about, well, how do you keep track of what's going on? And I said, I'll tell you, the best thing right now is the Spokane Indivisible. It's not Reddit, Substack.
Substack.
And he goes, you know, I've been, so then like a week later, I gotta ask, are you the one writing the Substack? Said that to me. And I said, that is the ultimate compliment because it's my friend Sammy and it is written so good, so entertaining. And I think, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it just to get the Substack to read your writing.
Well, honestly, I am taking that compliment if they thought it was you writing it because you are a fabulous writer.
Well, thanks. But my big thing was, you know, I've written under a lot of pseudonyms over the years. So I think that they were thinking that was just another name of mine was Sammy. So anyway, so this, what? Why, Sammy? Now, you know, there's probably maybe people tuned in here and they're like, oh, no Kings. Why would I want to be doing something like that? Are there any reasons that you could think of why somebody would want to do
that? There is a few reasons I can think of for that.
Okay. What would those reasons be? Why somebody would get involved?
First of all, I want to talk about the visibility of large groups. I mean, we've seen them in Minnesota. And you know what kind of impact it has.
Yeah.
And the whole idea with collecting people in that kind of crowd and that kind of space allows others to see it as, well, maybe there isn't the big divide everybody's been hearing about.
Yeah. And plus you're standing nationally with people, right?
Nationally. And there's over 3,000 events scheduled across the United States. So last time there was 2,200. So last October when we did our No Kings 2, there was about, and you know, the media says that there were 7 million, approximately 7 million people that were out on the streets. I have to present the numbers of our estimated amount of crowd to Harvard.
Yeah.
It was far more than 7 million.
What was our estimated crowd in Spokane?
13,000.
13,000, okay.
So we're hoping for more than that. You know, we're trying to reset 11 million in our nation.
Okay, I don't want to sidetrack the conversation of why people should go to this, but do you think there may be more because, in your opinion, have things gotten worse or better?
Well, I think things have gotten worse with the clowns in the White House.
Yeah.
But I think the people are coming together and organizing.
Yeah.
And doing an outstanding job of pushing back. And that's exactly what we have to do.
Yeah.
Heather Cox Richardson the other day said that there was, you know, the fascists, every marker for fascism we've reached.
Yeah.
But only with the people in charge, not with the people in the country. So there's a complete divide between fascism happening with those in the leaders and non-fascism happening with our communities.
Yeah. Because they're usually fascists are smart enough to do something for the community. Like, you know, like if Dum Dum had gotten in office and he said, I'm going to nationalize healthcare. I'm going to be single payer. And then I'm also going to rob everybody and do things. But at least I'm going to be single payer. Then people could say, oh, well, maybe there is something to this fascism.
Don't give him any ideas.
Oh, he won't do
You're
it.
Right. We don't, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, the also crowds, you know, they move public opinion.
Yeah.
It makes people feel like they can come on board and that they don't, they're not alone when they see that others are expressing and using their voices. And it also gives them a little bit of courage to get in line and
yeah.
speak out.
So somebody showing up to this event might be giving courage to other people just by being there.
Exactly. And it energizes. I mean, it's an uplifting event.
Yeah.
If those of you haven't attended a protest before, come just to see the blow up costumes.
Yes.
I mean, there was a family of five in unicorn blow-up costumes. And they were all different sizes, you know?
Yeah.
Big, medium, small, small, smaller. Oh, my gosh. That you can't be angry when you see that.
No. And the thing that with these inflatable costumes, too, is that what you're doing is you're basically saying, we're not afraid of you, you clowns. You know, I mean, like, you guys are clowns. We're going to be clowns back at you. And I think that, to me, is just so powerful.
The funnest thing was my friend, this guy had bought one of those blow-up things, and he's a little bit too big for it. So he comes over and gives it to my friend that's all of, you know, 4 foot nothing and weighs 7 pounds. And oh, my God, she was hilarious. There was every time I looked at her, I'm dying laughing because you would never expect her to be in a dinosaur costume,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it puts you, I think something like that would put you in the right frame of mind.
Yep. Always so much fun.
Yeah. All right. So what else you got? Any other reason?
I think that it influences our decision makers when they come to, you know, our officials, our elect ones that are making decisions for us and what they're voting on, because I think they see the people. And if they want to get reelected, they might want to be listening to the people.
Or they just stay away from the people.
Yeah.
They just don't do town halls
anymore. That's exactly
what
happens here on this side of the state.
Yep.
But anyway, it creates momentum, and that's exactly what we need. And I mean, it's great to get 11 million people out on the streets, but it has to be sustainable.
Yeah.
So this is what we're doing this year for No Kings.
Right.
The theme is take action, do something now. So we've invited all of the organizations to come and to table, have a table where people can come and visit them. We've got 38 tables lined up right now, and they go all the way from creating legislation to knitting Norwegian red hats. And because we know that everybody has a different comfort zone, you know, and how they want to get involved. And you know, you can be the radical and be out there doing civil disobedience, or you can be sitting at home knitting a hat,
yeah,
or singing with the resistance singers, yeah, or you know, making phone calls and writing letters to the editor or making phone calls to your representatives or to your senators. I mean, there is a really large range of people and organizations that you can get connected with and stay connected with, because we've all got to be engaged until we get through this.
Yeah, we plan on being there too, KYRS. Now, so, you know, I'll be there early because I'm going to be reporting. But if people get there at 1, is that when, like, speeches start going
stuff? Yep, the speakers start. And I can tell you what we did a few we've been doing this for like the last couple of months. We've been asking our community what's important to them. We've been asking them to fill out a survey. And we've been reaching people in every neighborhood and even the rural areas and asking them exactly what's the most important thing for you. And we've collected quite a few surveys, over 1,000. And so we've kind of split it up into what the priorities are. And what they are for our community is environment, affordability, voting rights, immigration, racial injustice, corruption. And then our last speaker is going to be the voice of the future, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But each one of those issues, we have a speaker to address that issue.
Perfect.
And not only that, but we have a table that represents that, like affordability. You can go to the table that talks about it and how you can get involved if that's your gig, if you want to work on creating legislation or whatever that might be, attention toward affordability. And so every table's laid out. And then our last speaker is going to be a high school student. Her name is Ava. She is fabulous. She ran the students march from Franklin Park Mall.
That was last weekend,
yeah,
right?
I believe that she's, you know, in line to be some kind of politician here. Yeah. In the future, but she's going to be our voice of the future and talk about what our young generations want, because they have been so overlooked.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Their future squandered.
Yes.
So if somebody shows up at 1, they can listen to the speeches, and then after that, it's going to be they can go and, you know, wave signs at cars, and then they can also walk amongst the booths and talk to people there. That sounds
I don't know about you, but you know, I've been to a few protests, and you can only hold a sign up for so long.
I know, yeah. Know?
And so this way you can do a little bit of both. You know, you could go to the streets and hold up your sign and then come back and check out the booths and the tables and the organizations and talk to the people. And
yeah, it'll be fun. I was going to ask you, you know, you've got all these weekly events that we just ran through. Are any of them your favorites that you like to do? Or is there one that you kind of go, oh, I think this is just fabulous.
No, Kings is my favorite.
Okay, but if you took the big one out.
If I took the big one out
and you did your weekly.
I love Say It Saturday.
Say It Saturday. Okay, so that, and for people who don't know, Say It Saturday is like a little mini No Kings, right? It's in the same locale, B.A. Clark Park. But I mean, you're still getting a couple thousand people, it seems like.
Yeah, and they organize something different every single Saturday. It's not the same, you know, come and show up and hold your sign. I mean, there's different events there all the time.
How is it that, so maybe explain to the listeners how it is that Indivisible Spokane is affiliated with the No Kings. Is the No Kings out of the Indivisible, you know, Spokane, Seattle, Indivisible, Cincinnati? Is that how that works?
It's actually the Indivisible nationally that organizes the No Kings thing.
Okay.
And so the Indivisible groups within the communities get to attend meetings and, you know, get all kinds of information from them to figure out how to organize and put things on
there. Are there any like national meetings where like leaders go and then they meet? Okay.
Yep. They have a leader meeting every week.
Okay.
And they have an event every, so those are leader meetings are on Mondays, and the whatever's happening that you need to be aware of is a Thursday meeting.
You should be enjoying your retirement right now. How did you come upon doing this? And I know you were doing it the first term, you know, as well, right?
Yeah. And then it got, I was, I mean, that's when I started getting involved is in 2017 during the first time around.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it is because there was rumors that the arts would be cut, the funding for arts would be cut. And it's like, it's taken us forever to get that money.
Yeah.
You know, the importance of art needs to be sustainable.
Well, that's probably why he took such a, you know, keen interest in the in the Kennedy Center, right?
Right. Yeah, that worked out for him, didn't it? Anywho. So, but you know what? It turns out that he didn't cut anything from the arts the first time around, but boy,
this time
he hacked it up pretty good this time.
Oh, with everything else.
Everything.
All the Doge, all that Doge money.
Yeah, it's going to save us so much money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it even equaled to like one day of this war.
Well, no, it didn't. And also, since he's been in office, the debt has gone up $2 trillion.
Yeah, and then they're going to ask for $200 billion for this war.
So scary.
Okay, I got to do my 20-minute after the hour stuff, and then we'll be right back because I got lots of questions, and you got a lot of stuff you want to say.
I get paid by the word.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna play a little music while I load my stuff up.
The ghost of Martin Niemöller haunts the halls of history. When they came for the communists, he said it's nothing to do with me. When they came for the Democrats, he had nothing to say. And when they came for Jews, he just looked the other way. His silence didn't save him. When they came for him as well, there was no one to speak out for him. Resistance had been quelled. What excuses would you tell yourself if this ever happened to you? Well, I live in a city of heroes. I know what I would do. When they came for the immigrants, I got in their face. When they came for the refugees, I got in their face. When they came for the five-year-olds, I got in their face. When they came to my neighborhood, I just got in their face. They used tear gas and pepper spray against our whistles and our phones. But in this city of heroes, we will protect our home. When they drag people from their cars, I got in their face. When they took families from their homes, I got in their face. When they murdered our sister, I got in their face. And when they murdered our brother, I still got in their face. In Dachau, Martin Niemöller suffered for his complicity. But in this city of heroes, we learn the lessons of history. I will bear witness to terror. I will bear witness to tyranny. I will bear witness to murder. I will bear witness to fascism.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for March 23rd through the 26th. Monday, Christopher Lucas at Wine and Taps, the Rogan Kahale Trio at Zola, and the Mac Movement open mic with Sydney Dixon at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Curtis G. at 1919 Wine Cellar, Steinza at the District, open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor, and the All-Star Jam with Jerry and Mars and Jameson Sampson at Zola. Wednesday, Jackson Burns at the Boiler Room, Ron Green at Iron Horse in the Valley, Aki Fumikado and Rachel Broadhead at Zola, open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Shauna Nicholson at the Wagon Wheel, Ron Green and Riley Christian Anderson at the Steam Plant, West 22nd at the District, open mic with Derek Hart at the Alibi, Francis Brown and JoJo Dodge at Zola, the Johnson Brothers Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, Stoned Level at the Red Room, and Absent Cardinal at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Okay, we are back. And I am, of course, your host, Maeve. You're listening to Out and About. And I'm talking to my friend, Sammy Perry, who is an organizer from Spokane Indivisible. And Spokane Indivisible are the folks who host the No Kings protest. And the protest this week is going, or on Saturday, will be from 1 to 4:30 p.m. It's a national thing, people. 1 to 4:30 p.m. at B.A. Clark Park. Right, Ho?
3922 North Normandy.
Normandy.
On the corner of Division and Garland.
I get off the bus.
Yeah.
At, right in front of what used to be the record store, now is a laundromat.
Boo. Aww. That's sad.
Boo. And then walk by what used to be the Garland Donuts that's now used car lot. And then I'm there. So, yeah. I was going to ask you, Sammy, there's like some talk about an event going on downtown. Do you know anything about that, what that's about?
Just a little bit. There was a group of people that I believe, and this is all hearsay because I have not spoken to the person that's organizing it, yeah. But I understand that they wanted to have a march.
Oh, okay.
And so I understand that they're gathering down there and in hopes for a march. And okay. That's really all I know about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There's not been, I've had some people say, oh, I heard this is downtown, which I heard last time too from people. I said, no, it's not. So, and I just think that Division is such a good place because you get a lot of people driving through and it can hold a lot more people, that Clark Park and along the sidewalk.
I did some research and found out that Division is the number one traveled street in Spokane. And more than 50,000 cars per day travel Division. Wow. So it's visible. I mean, you need to be someplace where you have a lot of visibility.
That's what I love about the Visibility Brigade. It just kind of catches people unaware. It's just such a wonderful thing to have.
I love that. I sometimes think that Spokane gets their news from the Visibility Brigade people.
Well, they might, because you're not getting your news from the news sources,
no,
right?
No, not anymore.
I mean, they have self-censored about everything that's going on. And so how... what are some lessons learned from the last event, do you think, that's going to be, I guess, having booths there, that's one, having more vendors, but people from the community.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, we love it that people come out and, you know, have a great day and wear their blow-up, you know, costumes and enjoy one another because it is really fun and really uplifting. But it needs to be more than one day. Yeah. You know, we need to grab people and, you know, get them engaged in even the tiniest little thing, maybe for 15 or 20 minutes once a week, you know, whatever it takes. And so that came to us when, you know, just like everything out, right? You learn as you go.
Yeah.
You see what needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And so we did that. Also, the last event, people said, I wish there were food trucks here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it was like, that was a great idea. So we've got four food trucks that'll be, well, three trucks and one booth, a cookie booth.
Okay, that sounds
good. But we've got some Colombian food. And, of course, we've got the All-American hot dog guy that's going to be there.
You've
got
to have that.
And Kona Ice, because you got to give kids something, yeah, right?
That's right.
And because a lot of people bring their kids, and kids are welcome to come. And then we've got the cookies. So hopefully everybody, if they get a little hungry, because, you know, protesting and can make you a little hungry.
And the thing is, people should be prepared, too, when you're out there and you're waving at cars, that you have so much love given back to you by motorists. There are people that are so solidly in the majority over the fascists, just the amount of people. They may be better funded. They may control all the media right now, or most of the media, but there are more of us. And when you get that, to me, is really a heartening thing, to be out there and seeing, you know, maybe for every 100 thumbs up, you might get another finger than a thumb.
Yeah, but it's, you feel the love,
absolutely,
when you're out there. You do. You feel that there's a lot more people connected and agreeing with you and your thoughts and our concerns about where the United States is going.
Yeah.
That it's a positive experience.
It seems like there's more talk about, like, disaffected MAGA people being more interested in protesting against this. And have you had any personal relations with people that have gone, that have said, oh, you know, I mean, I've changed my mind?
Yes,
or,
I have.
Really? Okay.
And you got to give them courage. I mean, you know, it took a lot of courage for them to say that.
Yeah.
And God love them. You know, I mean, it's just thank you for saying it and thank you for being here.
Yeah. And how was that for you to hear this person say, oh, I've changed my mind?
Well, it's unfortunate that we have to get so bad and people have to hurt so much and be harmed, lose work, you know, a long health insurance, you know, lots of issues. For them to wake up and understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And until it comes to their doorstep, sadly, most people aren't paying any attention.
Yeah.
So everybody that has said that, harm has come to their doorstep.
Really? So it wasn't like seeing what has happened to other people.
Right.
Not a lot.
Actually, the person that I did speak to one-on-one for a long time about is a really sad story. His wife was taking a medication that kept her alive, and that medication was paid for by the government. You know, they did not have the money to pay for it, and it was cut, and his wife passed.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, when you hear stories like that, it just breaks your heart.
Wow.
But that's why he was at the protest.
Wow. That's awful. I guess I don't understand people who supported somebody who was a 34-time convicted felon, somebody who was, at the time we knew he was an adjudicated rapist, suspected of being a pedophile. But now it's like this war that has been started because of him being a pedophile, not wanting, you know, to take the spotlight off of that. And then all these things. And, you know, this terrible, basically a terrible human being who's ruined everything he's ever touched. And they get there, you know, then he gets in office and he dismantles the government. And then he puts bozos in charge of everything. And then he takes away their health insurance. But then I've been seeing the spate of people filling up their gas tanks and saying how they don't like him anymore because gas is $5 a gallon. That bamboozles me. I don't understand it. You were willing to accept all of these things. And some of them didn't affect you, but, you know, rising price of groceries affects you. The loss of your health care affects you. But now it's like gasoline. And it's almost like I start thinking, this is maybe, is this what people think it's okay to be upset about?
Yeah. It confuses me too. I mean, especially when children have died.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Children have died in lots of different ways. These children have died.
And they've stolen them off of the street and put them in concentration camps. That's okay.
They kidnapped a head of state. They started a war because Israel told them to start the war.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, all these things that are just so, I know that there's a point in people's lives where you're in too deep and you would just as soon everything get destroyed, including yourself, but other than to admit, I caused all this. You know, well,
and again, the harm has to fall on their doorsteps before they take action.
Yeah. It's like, it reminds me of the Republican congressmen who are anti-gay until they have a child who's gay and everybody applauds them and say, that's so empathetic of you. It's like, no, he's still a monster. Still. Just not a monster to his kids.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's just to me, it's just bamboozling, which kind of leads us into Michael Baumgartner. One of the things that I really enjoy that you do is when Michael Baumgartner puts out his newsletter, you go through it and just debunk it point by point by point.
Well, here's how we do that. And one of our team members is a PhD scientist who loves to do research.
Oh, cool.
And she's the one that does all of the research.
Oh, God bless her.
To pull out all of the false statements that he makes in that newsletter. And sometimes they're not just lies. He's very good at putting half the information into his newsletter or just parts of it to where it makes it look really good. But you know what? Underneath that really good sentence is some really horrible things happening to our people in Eastern Washington.
Yeah. So
whoever writes that is good doing that.
Well, so let's talk about that. You know, people think, well, you know, President Trump, it's in Washington, D.C., but I'm not feeling the effects here, which I'm sure if you're... Maybe if you have insurance that you're feeling the effects.
Some people are going to lose that come January.
Yeah.
What has, there's a lot, 157,000 children will be affected.
Wow.
I could be wrong on that number because I don't have it in front of me. But
what about our farmers? Why is it that they're getting handouts now because he's destroyed their markets. I mean, we don't grow soybeans around here, I don't think. But I mean, like the soybean farmers... They don't have any place to sell their soybeans now. I mean,
actually, every farmer doesn't have any place to sell anything.
Yeah, China, which is a huge, huge importer of Washington produce.
Yeah,
that's gone.
Yeah, it's devastating. And I had a friend attend the egg show, and he was listening to a speaker talk about, this is just the market right now. It's going to be okay. This is just passing. And it's like, oh my gosh. He actually would raise his hand and ask specific questions about, you know, you don't believe that the tariffs had anything to do with this? And he would like, well, you know, maybe just a little. And it was like, oh my gosh, let's tell the truth.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the people about what's actually happening so that we can fix it.
Yeah, you're in a cult.
Yes.
I mean, it's unfortunate, and that's not a pejorative. It is a cult because, you know, when he started this war, it was like 80% of Republicans were against any kind of action against Iran. And then as soon as he started it, they completely flipped.
Well, I tell you, the American public, I read a really great Substack called Strength in Numbers.
Okay.
And every day there's a new poll, you know, and
ooh,
only 21% of the American people support the Iran war.
Really? Okay. Strength in Numbers. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah.
That's
Elliot, E. Elliott Morris.
Oh, I think I know that name. Where else do you get your news from? I mean, people are like, where, you know, because you if you tune into CNN, and of course CBS now is a state media, along with Fox, and ABC is kind of hanging in there a little bit, but they all are self-censoring because they know they get sued and they have to like give this clown a couple million dollars just to get them off their backs, you know?
Yeah.
So where do you
I read. Yeah. I go to Substack for a lot of stuff. Robert Wright, Heather Cox Richardson, Jay Kuo. There's a long list of people with Joyce Vance. You know, I mean, I trust what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I would rather read and listen to, you know, what their opinions and what they have to say or to share information than just about anybody else.
That's good.
I have a hard time watching TV with the it's like, you know, my mother used to scream at the television when Nixon was in office.
Yes.
And, you know, we grew up on a farm and she didn't have a lot of people that she could vent to.
Yeah.
And I was really young.
Right.
But I'm sitting there looking at this crazy woman screaming at the TV. And we just, all of our siblings would look. It's like, what is wrong with her? And here I am. Here I am screaming at the TV or screaming at the computer. So I decided that I need to stop screaming at these, you know,
yeah,
screens in front of me.
Yeah, screens are bad.
But, you know, I can still scream at what I'm reading at. So
that's good. Well, you should write out your scream. You should just write out "arg."
Right. But sometimes I laugh.
Yeah. Well, what always gets me when I watch the videos of him saying just things that are just nonsense and just crazy. Just like, you know, oh, we had problems with Biden and senility type stuff. I mean, this guy, he's definitely, I mean, there's his, like they call him Grandpa Puddin' Brains. I mean, he's like, there is, his brain is mush. And so he says things that are really offensive or just plain stupid, and the audience laughs or applauds.
Oh, I know.
And I just think, do you people have any honor? Do you have any, like, one shred of honor? And that's what I worry. This is what I worry about, Sammy. I worry that we're going to get this clown out of there, and we're going to take back the House, maybe if we have elections. But who are these people? There's this lack of honor, a lack of morality, you know, for better choice of words, that I don't know how we're ever going to get that back. Because, like I said, I'll tell you what, I was okay with him having baby sandwiches, but as soon as he pushed the price of gasoline over $5 a gallon, that was enough for me. You know, it's like, okay.
Well, you know what I think about the whole thing? I think that those people are either being threatened, the ones that are applauding, yeah, and don't stop applauding.
Yeah.
Like they did with Stalin.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they're being threatened or they're getting paid,
yeah,
to do it. And when he's gone, they'll be gone because we've got a history of everything that they've done. I mean, I think the American people have had it. You know, if we get the opportunity to vote again, those people are going to be gone. And I think they know they're going to be gone.
Well, I hope they know. I hope they have a sense that there will be justice delivered to them, too. Because I think that we will never be able to fix any of this unless we show the rest of the world.
Exactly.
We have a justice system that takes care of criminals, even when they're powerful criminals who take over our government.
Well, and what is it, 46 Republicans are retiring?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what does that tell you?
Yeah, I think.
Mass exodus.
Yeah, they don't want to be holding the bag. They don't want to be when they're running through the hallways.
Yeah.
They don't want to running be there for
I remember that scene.
Yeah, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's what worries me. So let's say perfect world. There's a perfect world. We get the House back. We have trials to show the rest of the world that we're not lawless anymore. You know, we put whatever those punishments are, they get carried out. Spokane Indivisible. It's it's a you there's so much underpinning now to it. What do you think there would be other things that it would move on to, or would it just dissolve? I mean,
I think that we've got a nation to rebuild, and I think that we need to rebuild it with Americans' voices.
Yeah.
And Americans' choices and their wants and their needs. And I think that it's going to take a lot of us to, you know, move from resistance to rebuilding.
Yeah. And I think that we should take their money too. We should take all the cabinet members' money. We should take Trump's money. And, you know, people say, well, you can't do that. I think, well, the emoluments clause, they have all made money. They've already violated that. They've not acted like public officials. You know, they're mobsters, and they've taken their cut.
They're thieves.
Yeah, and so I think that you know, we do it. You know, and let them figure it out. But I'm not running for office. And I guess what frustrates me right now is that you're not hearing voices saying this. I mean, at least I'm not hearing people saying, I am going to run on justice, and I am going to, my first act will be to figure out how to make these people pay for what they did. And I think that any candidate who started saying things like that would have, because, you know, this whole thing, like, they went, let's talk about affordability. Well, you know, people may say they care about affordability, but Kamala was all about affordability. She was going to give first-time home buyers money on down the line, relief for healthcare stuff, all of that stuff. They didn't vote for her. So I'm saying, I think people, it's an emotional response, and it's a logical emotional response that you would want to bring justice to the people who destroyed your nation. The Russian agents. I mean, you could say he's not a Russian agent, but I would just, my thing is like, well, how would a Russian agent act any differently than this?
There's no different in acting, definitely. But I feel like that, you know, we're going to have so much to rebuild. And I also feel that they're going to be lining up to get out that door. They've had it.
I think, too, that there are always these unintended consequences that come out of things, weird things like that. So maybe this will be, you know, I think it's funny because he's been such a face of, you know, talking about how Trump talks about how bad socialism is and communism is and liberals are and all that. And then there's his demented mug with the clown makeup on saying these things that I think that maybe he might be the best spokesman for socialism ever. Like, if that person who is so deranged, idiotic, loser can say these kind of says that socialism is bad, maybe it's worth looking into at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think there's going to be weird things that happen from this.
Yeah, I think that this whole thing is going to ricochet in the direction of good when it's gone, because we have seen what can happen, and now we have to prevent it from ever happening again.
Yeah, and we've seen people step up, like in Minnesota, Minneapolis especially. And it's funny because they don't, it's the same with the No King stuff, they don't understand it. They don't understand, the Republicans don't understand that there would be people who care about somebody else other than themselves. Like, oh, George Soros is paying those protesters, or there is this organization which is, you know, getting power or whatever. And it's just like, they don't understand that there are, they may not have those human connections where they're moved by the plight of other people that they don't know. In fact, I would say that's probably an earmark of that political party, not caring about other people other than themselves.
They're not in touch. They're not in touch with anything that happens on the level of...
Right. So they see the thing in Minneapolis and they just go like, whoa, what is going on here? Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why I think this will be the time, and then somewhere in the near future, where it's going to be a time for honorable people to shine.
Yeah.
Because people in Minneapolis were so honorable, stepping up, taking care of people that they didn't know. My cousins are over there, and they did amazing things and took care of communities, and were out there protesting, you know, in sub-zero weather, because they cared about other people.
Yeah.
And this party doesn't understand that.
And that's who we are as Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who we are. And they are not representing the values of us and as Americans and as communities and neighbors to one another.
Yeah.
They don't have the values we do.
I think there's always been some people like that, like who they are now, but I think Trump has given really awful people permission to show us that they are awful. And so they have a louder voice now because they have a community. I mean, that's a big part of not leaving the cult, too, is you've got this community of believers, you know, and, you know, we're all going to the planet. Get your tennis shoes on. You know what I mean? I'm just going to stop you. No, you get your tennis shoes on. And so, I mean, they have this community, and they don't want to lose this community, too.
Yeah. And all you have to do is listen to, who is it? Like recently, wrote the guy who has a radio station that's a podcaster.
Not Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. Oh, yeah, Joe Rogan, yeah.
Didn't he just tell everybody to vote blue?
Yeah. And in fact, there's some of the MAGA, really ultra-right-wing people are so mad about this war, as they should be, and they are like saying the same thing too, you know, and I guess, you know, we'll take their votes, but it's like, hopefully we get to take their votes. I'm really worried about the SAVE Act still too.
Oh, I'm so worried about the SAVE Act.
And
oh,
I think people need to go out. If that would be for me, the reason to go, well, that and the war would be the two reasons for Pete to go out. But I think the SAVE Act is so, people don't, you know, everybody, well, I think, yeah, everybody should have ID when they vote or whatever. Well, that's not really what we're talking about here.
Well, let me tell you what our illustrious representative said about the SAVE Act after he voted for it.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, that should let every woman in this Eastern Washington understand that he does not want women to vote.
That's right.
And they're going to make it as hard as possible for women to vote, and trans, and adoptees. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a long list of people that are not going to have the opportunity because, first of all, it's going to cost them money. Because of their name change. If their name does not match their birth certificate's name, like if a woman takes her husband's name, she has to prove that she's that person. She's the person with the original birth certificate. She may have a different last name. And so then you have to have a birth certificate and a marriage license. If your husband has passed, you have to have a death certificate. If you've been married more than once, you have to have a marriage license and divorce papers. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And the only thing that will work is a passport. A passport in Washington State costs $165. How many women are going to be left out because they don't have $165 for a passport?
Yeah, it's total voter suppression.
And so Baumgartner says, well, I believe that everybody, every voter needs a voter ID card. Because you have to have a driver's license to drive.
Which is not a constitutional right.
You have to have a driver's license to prove that you're of age to get an adult beverage. You should have to have a voter's card. Well, here's the deal. A driver's license is a privilege. Ordering a drink at a bar is a privilege. Going to vote is a right. And he can't seem to figure out the difference between the two.
Yeah. And it's, for a lot of us, it's a duty.
It's absolutely a civic duty.
Yeah, civic duty. And so you're going to throw up barriers for us to do that.
Well, I tell you, I had to give a talk on the SAVE Act to an organization here in town. And so I did a deep dive to make sure I got all of my facts right. Scared the bejeebies right out of me. You know, it was like, oh my God, there were things in there that I didn't even know. And I read all the time.
Yeah. And everybody's like, well, they won't be able to do it. But it's like, nope, it's not dead yet.
Vote.gov will be gone.
Will be gone. Yeah. You will be have to jump through a lot of hoops to be able to register to vote.
94% of people register to vote through vote.gov, and then they can watch their ballots, you know, to make sure that it was counted, received, going to be gone.
It's pretty amazing that the Republicans could do is they could decide to have a platform that's popular with people. Instead of trying to keep them from voting.
Yeah. But
anyway, hey, we're out of time, but let's tell people one last time where to go this Saturday.
Okay. Saturday, B.A. Clark on Division and Garland. Bring a can of food. We're having a food drive as well. And we've got lots of fun things planned. Lots of singing. There'll be lots and lots of singing. And our speakers are going to be fabulous, and we've got ways to get involved and to stay involved until we can get through this together, and we will get through this.
Amen. And it's 1 to 4:30 p.m.
Yeah, 1 to 4:30. And there's porta-potties.
Porta-potties, yes. Yes.
I know. We've got a great group of people in our community that bought the porta-potties for our community.
That's lovely. Okay. You have been listening to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Maeve, and I'll be talking with you next week. Bye.
Hypesters and cryptocurrency barons have each put tens of millions of dollars into the opposition. Such overprivileged plutocratic ninnies as Peter Thiel and Mark Zuckerberg have even declared that by gollies they will just pack up and leave California if required to pay a pittance of their fortunes to support the basic needs of common people. Californians, though, seem not to care. In recent surveys, only 28% of the state's voters oppose the wealth tax. Indeed, nationwide, 60% of us want billionaire tax dodgers to start paying their fair share. This is Jim Hightower saying, people are sick of the greed of, well, let's call them what they are, the filthy rich. There's a fast-spreading attitudinal shift from the right wing's long insistence that the rich are to be admired and coddled. Instead, majorities today are reconnecting to the eternal truth that the love of money is the root of all evil. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
This is Flavio.
And Mo the Robot from Mo and Me. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane.
88.1 and 92.3 FM. Thin Air Community Radio. Your community radio station.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford. 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM. Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
With Iran, we've been negotiating for a long time, and this time they mean business. And it's only because of the great job that our military did is the reason they mean business. They want to settle, and we're going to get it done, I hope.
As the U.S. and Israeli war on Iran enters its 25th day, President Trump claims Iran's begun negotiations with the United States. But the Iranian government has dismissed the claim as fake news, accusing Trump of trying to manipulate financial and oil markets. We'll speak to former Israeli negotiator Daniel Levy, about Iran and the latest from Lebanon, the West Bank and Gaza. Then hours-long waits at airports are drawing attention to the plight of TSA workers who've been without pay for over a month due to a partial government shutdown. Trump has deployed ICE agents to more than a dozen airports nationwide. We'll speak to a lead TSA officer and union shop steward in Boise, Idaho. Plus, we are highlights from Democracy Now's 30th anniversary celebration Monday night. We'll hear the Pulitzer Prize-winning Palestinian poet Masab Abu Toha, as well as a surprise guest, Bruce Springsteen, who performed and talked about his new song, The Streets of Minneapolis.
Last winter, the federal troops brought death and terror to the streets of Minneapolis. They picked the wrong city.